Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I just want to try, if I can tonight, to take this verse and preach for a little while on training children. Training children. Now that's a big statement, a big theme, a large phrase, amen. And I'm on the backside of that for the most part as a parent. And some of you would say, well, preacher, my child's already a teenager, and you know, I needed this when they were born, but I'm preaching it to you now. Amen. A lot of infants here tonight. And I realize fully tonight that you cannot go back and take a teenager that is in your home tonight and go back and redo everything that may need to be redone when they were young. But I trust tonight that you'd give me space to preach and the opportunity to unveil to these young parents who have infants and who have little ones from the Word of God, amen, some things I feel like that I guess last week the Lord began to deal with my heart about training children. Let me say something about what's not in this verse tonight. Son and daughter is not in this verse. Neither is parents. Amen. Because there's children in here that's being raised that's not the son or the daughter of the person raising them. And they are children that are living for God, that are serving the Lord, and that are being faithful to God, who were trained, educated, and molded into what they are by people that were not even necessarily in their family. So what is not in the verse tonight is sons and daughters and parents. What is in the verse tonight is what's in the verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've heard people say make statements like this. You know, they've said, well, I don't know who their parents were, what kind of bloodline or breeding is involved. And that's the attitude that I've heard people have. And so, you know, they would not involve themselves in a child because of that reason for that child's life. But this Bible says, train up a child. Is that not what it says? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there has been a lot of books that have been written about raising children and training children. I have never read a one of them that I know of. And I'm sure you probably read many. There's been Mennonites write books on raising children. There's been Mennonites who have raised wicked and ungodly children. There have been Amish that have written books about raising children, and they have raised wicked and ungodly children. There have been Baptists that have written books about raising children, and they have raised wicked and ungodly children. But there is a God that has written a book about raising children, and he raised a perfect son. And so I believe that you can take the book that I have on the sacred desk tonight without the philosophies, input, ideas of other men and raise a family for the glory of God. I have under my desk, I have a box, if it's still there, I don't know, stacked with books that a family brought me one time of a man, I don't know, Gothard, if that, I don't know if that was his name or not, who was really pushing, you know, homeschool and raising children, family values, and he wrote just all kind of books and character lesson books on what you need to do to raise a family for the glory of God. And far as I know, the man wasn't even married. And so his books are under my desk in a box if they're still there. I don't even know if they're there. And I never read them. But I have read the Bible. And I have tried to put to practice the principles of God's Word. I'll tell you what, you would be amazed the families in independent Baptist churches who have been influenced, and their training technique and what they are doing in their family revolves around the philosophies of other men. It's amazing how that they will put an emphasis on what these men have written, because it settles maybe with their values, settles with their morals. It may bear witness with what they think life is really all about, and they will seemingly take that above the Word of God. I believe the Bible tonight. And I believe that verse number 6 carries with it a great weight of responsibility. May I say tonight that training takes time and effort. If you don't have time, and if you're not willing to put forth an effort, you're not going to train children for the glory of God. I'll say that again. Training, you men that work in the workforce, you men that maybe have stepped into a vocation and have advanced with a company, you understand that for you to perform and to be productive and for you to accomplish what the company expects for you to fulfill on a daily basis, it has taken time and effort by that company to bring you to where you're at, right, Brother Danny? I mean, there has been schooling, there have been the invention of new tools, there has been different things that have been brought into the equation and for you to be productive. Somebody has invested time and effort to train you to do what you are doing right now. It takes the same kind of time and the same kind of effort to raise a child. If you do not have time for that, nor if you're not willing to put forth the effort, then you're not going to train a child for the glory of God. Several things about this verse. Let me dissect the phrases for you. Can I do that for just a moment? If you like to jot them down, I'm just going to mention these. I'm going to be preaching on the home in Pennsylvania, Lord willing, probably in the month of September. And I already had mapped out in my mind how that probably would go, but the Lord began to deal with my heart about these thoughts, and I began to just look at verse number 6, and I want to try to take the words and the phrases for a moment and outline them for you so that you maybe can just get a very elementary grasp of what this verse is all about. There is, first of all, there's people involved in this verse. It says, train up a child. So we don't know how old this individual is. We don't know whether they're a male or a female or a male and a female together. We don't know if it's a group. We don't know if it's an individual. All we are told is there's somebody here that is training a child. Is that somebody you? Someone is involved in this process. Someone is involved in what is going on in this verse. Train up a child. Somebody is involved. You leave a child to himself, you leave a child to herself, and she is going to bring shame to her parents. He is going to destroy his life. You leave a child to himself, and he's not going to make it. That's why it's very important that you understand tonight that there is people involved in this training process. And I believe in the household of faith that many of you have been benefited by multiple people being involved in your life in a positive way to help, amen, train you and guide you and lead you down a path for the glory of God. So there's people involved. There is a process involved. And that process is in the word train. Now, what does that word mean, preacher? Well, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it basically means to train. Discipline goes along with the word. But if you study it further, it begins to open up to you. And here's what the word train means. This process that is spoken of in verse number 6 involves to form. That's what it means. To form by instruction or practice. And so we're told that in this process of training that there is a forming involved. You are forming something. You ever formed something? Some of you don't know much about that, I'm sure, but the carpenters that are here, they know what it means to build a form. If you're going to form a sidewalk or a set of steps, you build that form, and you make that form the shape that you want that loose, sloppy, soupy concrete to dry into. But that's not all you do. You just don't cut out the ply form or the plywood, Brother Kevin, and stand it up there and pour concrete in it. Once you build those forms, you've got to support it. Amen. You've got to kick it off. You've got to screw it together. You've got to drive stubs in the ground and run kicks off of it and then kicks off the stubs and everything. Because when that thing starts pouring, there's a lot of pressure that is created. And it'll blow that form out. It will disfigure what you are trying to accomplish if you do not build that form. And in building that form, make it what you want it to be. But then it takes much support. Amen. And I believe that's where the man of God comes in the equation, and the church comes in the equation, and the people of God come in the equation. I have known families that alienated their children from the influence of a pastor, from the influence of godly people, and they thought this as a parent, I know what I'm doing, and you may. And I know what I want my child to be, and I do not want any help from anyone else. I do not need any support from anyone else. And they built the form, they sawed the form out, and they put it in place, but they did not have the support. And when the pressure was applied to the sloppy, soupy concrete of life that was poured in it, it exploded on them. Train means to form by instruction or practice. It involves the word educate, to educate that child. All that is a process of training. That's what the word means. That's not what I read that someone said it meant. That's what this word implies in the text that is before us tonight. And so there is a process. Are you willing to involve yourself in that process? Are you willing to shoulder that responsibility? Are you willing to take that kind of load upon your shoulder? You can't put it off on your wife. You can't put it all off on your husband. You can't put it off on the pastor. You can't put it off on a Christian school. You can't put it off on the neighbors or the babysitter or the daycare. This process of training means to form by instruction or practice. I'm outlining the verse tonight. So there is a people. You don't know who they are. You don't know how old they are. You don't know what color they are. You don't know anything about these people, but somebody's being told to train a child in this verse. Train up a child. There's a process. That word train. Then there is a projection. What does he say? Train up a child. The children of this generation are the most disrespectful children you've ever met in your life. They have no manners. They have no self-discipline. They're lazy. Are you listening to me? We are far from trained up. We have trained, if you want to call it training, in a downward sense. Amen. They don't even know how to wear a hat. They don't know how to dress for certain situations. They won't open a door for a lady. I go to the store somewhere, and I don't care how the woman looks or what kind of clothing she has on. She may have a cigarette 4 foot long hanging out of her mouth, had a pair of shorts on and a tattoo across her neck, but I open the door for her. It almost embarrasses them. They look at me like, what in the world is going on? I say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to people. I say it sometimes to children. We have by far not trained up in the situation, but you need to understand that if you're going to train a child, your goals and your expectations should exceed you. This verse indicates to us that there is a projection that goes beyond you. You should train children to be better than you, more respectful than you, more mannerly than you. But we have not done that. We go back in generations and we go back to a group of people that had manners, that had respect, that carried themselves with etiquette, that had a sense of responsibility, a sense of moral values. And as we progress, we see it falling apart and falling down into the ground. And now we are where we're at, and we have not trained up. We have trained down. We talk about our dad. Our dad did this. My daddy wouldn't put up with this. My mama, my grandpa done it this way. Well, what are you doing? We thought it may be to be unfair at the time, but it promoted and produced something in our life. They were trying to make us better than what they were. Now, there was a mindset that I believe corrupted the generation that we are preaching to and laboring in right now, and that is a mindset that we want our children to have it easier than we have it. I've heard people say that. We want our children to have it easier than we had it. We don't want them to have to struggle like we struggle. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the struggles that you had to face? Nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you what the reason why these young people are in the shape they're in America tonight is because they don't know how to act when problems come, and they don't know how to deal with trouble and problems because mom and dad has bailed them out on every turn in life. But there's a process. If you set your son down and was honest, or the person that you may be involved with tonight, would you say, he has more manners than I have. He is far beyond me. I'm training him up, Brother Rick. I'm training her up. I want her to exceed me. I want her to go beyond me. I want him to be beyond what I am. There are some things that are flaws and things in my life that I do not want my son to have. I want him to go beyond that. That's what training up means. You got that part? Are you a person that's involved in this verse? Train up. Are you in the process? Understand that what you are doing, you are forming a child. You are forming a child, and it takes support. It takes help. It takes every ounce of your strength, amen, in that process. But I'm telling you tonight, it is very important that you understand that in that process, that there is a projection. It is in an upward direction. There is a generation. How lofty are their eyes? There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation who are wicked and impure and ungodly, is what the Bible says in Proverbs. And somebody raised that generation, and somebody has trained this generation to be exactly who they are and what they are. Train them up. Does your children have better, more values than you have? Does your sons and your daughters, are they going to have more values and principles than what you have? Then there's a person. Train up a child. This is the introduction. Train up a child. A person. And every child is different. You can't build the same form for every one of your kids. Now, I use the same tools to build a form for a sidewalk as I use to build a form for a set of steps, or to build a form for a curb, or to build a form for a porch. I use the same tools. But I don't use the same shape, the same measurements, the same cuts. I use the same tools, but I build a form different. Some of us ain't got that figured out. All these children's not a set of steps or a sidewalk, if I can apply it that way. But I'm talking about being formed. All of them are not that way. They all are different. Their likes are different. Their passions are different. Their mindset is different. Everything is different. And you know that as a parent. Every one of my children were different. And they are still different. Those two boys are twins, but they're different. You can tell that by looking at them. They're different. And if you're going to train up a child, you have to understand that that child is a person. You don't link them up with their brother or their sister. You don't throw them in a barrel and say, these are my children. I'm doing everything in this regard in their behalf. You have to train them up as an individual and form them in that regard. I'll say again, training takes time and effort. Are you willing to invest it? You have a responsibility, and you will be accountable to God for the child. Not necessarily the son or the daughter, but the child that God puts in your life. So there is a projection. There is a person. Then there is a path. Train up a child in the way, in the way. There's a way. And so we understand that. We could preach about that. Do I have to preach about that tonight? There is a way here that this child is going to go in. We preached about the direction and the path this morning. And so there is a path here that you should focus. This is what this young man, this is what I want at the end of the day. This is what I want when he's 12. When he's 13, this is what I want to see when he's 5. This is how I want him to respond when he's 6, 7, and 8. Give him to himself when he's 2 and 3. And you're not going to get what you think you want when he's 5. A child left to himself at any age level is going to bring shame in time. I'm telling you tonight that there is a path. You should expect things, desire things, know things. When that child is in his infant stages, you should want some things. When he's 1, when he's 2, when she's 3, when she's 4, when she's 5, and as she progresses or he progresses in life, you should have a way established in your mind that you want that child to go in, a path that you want him to walk in. And that path, of course, is a path of godliness. It's a biblical path. It's a spiritual path. You should desire to see some things out of that child. I had a parent come to me and say, pray for my children. I can't do anything with them. A parent that is not single, but a single parent spiritually. And there's some of those in here tonight with their husbands and their wives beside of them. You have a husband and you have a wife, but you're a single parent when it comes to raising your children spiritually. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'll say that again because I don't think some of you are getting it. I said there are single parents in this building tonight, amen, that have a husband and a wife seated beside them in the pews of this church, spiritually speaking, because the mom carries a spiritual load or the dad carries a spiritual load or everything the dad tries to implement and practice in the home to try to direct a young man or a young lady down the path, mama fights tooth and nail with it, or everything mother tries to do, daddy goes behind her back, opens the windows out, and up and lets them out, sneaks them through the back door, whatever the case may be, cuts the switch on for them when mama's going to the grocery store and undoes everything that they're trying to do. Single parenting, spiritually. It's getting quiet in here, isn't it? Amen. But there is a path. You should have some expectations. There's some things that I wanted to see out of my son and daughters at certain ages that I didn't see. And when I didn't see it, I realized that I had a responsibility to try to deal with that as a form builder, as a trainer. And put things in, am I making any sense tonight? Put things in place that will create what you desire to see in their life. Amen. Spiritual things put in place. You cannot make a child. Let me say that this verse does not eliminate the choice of the child. And we understand that tonight. And I preached that and mentioned that in the last several services. But I do want you to understand that you can mold some things when they're little. I'll get to that in a moment. There's a path. There's purity. Is that not right? Train up a child in the way he should go. That's purity. Now there's a way he should go and there's a way he shouldn't go. And you're going to have to train him up to walk down the way and in the path of purity. The word should go is very important. Is your son and your daughter doing what they should? Do they love God like they should? Do they love the church like they should? Do they read the Bible like they should? Do they pray like they should? Do they have a heart for the things of God like they should? Do they? And if they don't, then in those young years when you are able to mold them, and there comes a time when the form is built. And once the form is built, it's your responsibility to start supporting it when the pressure is put on the form. To pour the contents in. Purity. Purity. The way he should go. Does he's not doing what he should do. Then you can just leave him to himself and hope he'll get over it when he gets 15. But he's not going to get over it when he gets 15. You can leave him to himself and think, well, you know, maybe he'll get out of this stage. I mean, it's just that growing stage. It's that puberty thing. It's that, you know, hair under your arm kind of thing going on and shaving your legs and all that stuff that starts happening to people when they start growing up. You can have that mindset that is promoted by a psychologist of this world, or you can understand that if they're not going down the path they should go, you have a responsibility, amen, to have built the form and support the form and do what is necessary for them to do what they should do. I had a parent tell me here very, very, very recently, who is trying to deal with children on her own, basically, in the home. And she said this to me. She said, I have to wrestle them down. We're talking about little girls. Wrestle them down to discipline them. I've grounded them. I've done everything I know to do. And she's trying to raise two girls with a lost husband. And she's crying and weeping before me saying, what do I do? What can I do? I'll just pray. So all I can do is pray because I'm not involved in their life. Are you interested in what your son should do? Are you interested, Brother Roger, Brother Danny, in what your children should be doing? What they should be, how they should act, how they should look, how they should walk, how they should. Are you interested tonight in what they should be doing? Training children's a big deal. It's a very big deal. You leave them to themselves in any age bracket and they're going to tie in time. That age bracket will cost you. And I can promise you, you young parents, you better listen to me. You leave them to themselves in any age bracket and it'll cost you. My daughters, you listening to me? You leave them to themselves at any time. And if mama's trying to do something and daddy's undermining it, if daddy's doing something and mama's undermining it, don't come crying to the preacher. Don't come saying, pray for my boy. Why has God let this happen? Why is this going on? I don't understand. Yes, you do understand. You just can't seem to accept the reality of the choices and decisions that you have made in their behalf. Purity. Then there's purpose. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, there's a purpose. He's going to get old. What about that? Not going to stay an infant. Not going to remain five all of his little cute life. Are you listening? He is not going to stay where he is at right now. And you can do everything in your power to try to keep him little and keep her little and keep that little youth and that little, you know, that desire that you have as a mother or a dad. I mean, you know, it would be kind of neat, I guess, if, you know, Trey's a good little boy and he'll come up to you and say, "Papa, they come out to the porch today," and he said, "Time to eat." Amen. That's cute, and I enjoy it, you know. Pick him up. He laid in the bed with me last night, all stretched out, you know, laughing and giggling. That's fun. We need to keep him like that all the time. Ain't gonna happen. And you can want all you want to control that in your home and your family, but your son and daughter is going to get old and grow. And if you try to keep them at 5, when they get 6, things are gonna start happening that's gonna slip through your fingers and create problems for you that your heart can't bear when they get 10, 12, 15, 18 years old. You better hear what your preacher's telling you tonight. You can read your books. You can come to me and say, "Train up a child's got an old wagon on it, you know, with an Amish hat on it." You can bring all your books to me and I'll smile at you. Yeah, I'll take a look at it, and I'll lie to you because I probably ain't going to look at it. You can kind of heard him say, yeah, I had one guy say, you know, you take a pen, give it to the, hold it in front of the child, and he reaches out to get it, and you slap his hand and say no, almost like training a dog. Some of you've done that, haven't you? You've read the book and done it. Training a dog, training a horse to give to pressure. A child's not a horse, nor is it a dog. It's a child. We're talking about a child. We're not talking about an elephant or a lion. We're talking about a child. Might act like a baboon sometimes, but we're talking about a child. And you take the philosophies and the practices that this world has said has worked for them, it's not going to work for you. I don't care if they know God, they say they're saved. I don't care what kind of books, what kind of library you have. You will follow that book or you will fail. Stupid. Some of that stuff is stupid. Well, I've done it, preacher. It's stupid. I'm telling you right now, it was stupid. This book has the answer to your issues. As a parent, as a guardian, as an individual that is involved in a child's life, you could be a grandfather, a grandmother, that is a part of this equation in this verse. And grandparents can be the worst when it comes to the child's productivity and prosperity of walking down this path that's pure. And we got grandparents here, and I are one. But I've never said, I might in a joking way, but if he needs his tail tore up, tear his tail up. And I'll take my belt off and let you use it. Now my mother, the great grandmother, she ain't gonna like that, but she just gonna have to get over it. Because she's living in my house. Is everybody listening? There's a purpose. You want something out of them when they get old, or you just want to play and toy with them when they're 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and you want to experience the joys of having a 12-year-old, but they're going to get 15. Oh, yeah, they are. And all the goofing around that you've done and the trash that you've allowed in their mind when they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, when they get 15... 16, 17, and 18 years old, you're going to have more on your hands than you can deal with. Because they are going to get old. And there is a promise in this verse that when they do get old, if they are trained up in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that they leave and come back. Never. Nothing, listen to me. There's nothing. Everybody's always said that. Well, if they've been trained up, they'll come back. The Bible says when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I mean, that's exactly what it says. Don't say anything about leaving. nothing at all about departing. Now, where is that line drawn? Where is that line drawn where an individual has taken on the responsibility of the choices of life? A young man and a young lady are going to one day grow old, and they are going to be individually responsible for the choices they make. And don't try to put in this promise in verse number 6 and be a Calvinist and say, if I do everything just right, then I eliminate the choice of my son or daughter. It doesn't go that far. Are you listening to me? It does not go that far. Every individual has a choice. You say, well, preacher, I just believe. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible, says. The only parent that Adam had was God. The only individual that had anything to do with the responsibility of raising, teaching, and telling a man what to do, God with Adam. And Adam took of the fruit. So I'm telling you tonight that there comes a time, there's a lesson in that text. I don't know how old Adam was, but Adam was responsible enough to know that he was on his own. And there were results, amen, revolving around the choices that he would make in life. And God left him to himself after he had given those responsibilities. Here's life, here's death. Now it's your choice. You make the mind up what you're going to do with it. And there come a time when Adam partook of that fruit and plunged the entire human race in a depraved state as we know it tonight. So don't go Calvinistic with that verse. If you know what Calvinistic means, if you don't worry about it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a promise. Now listen to me about promise. What do you do with a promise? Brother Thren, what do you do with a promise? How is a promise meaningful to anyone? If I promised Brother Craig that I was going to give him $100, and I'm not going to promise him that, amen, I have $100 in my pocket, but I'm not going to give it to him, and I'm not even going to tell him I'm going to. But if I promised Brother Craig that I was going to give him $100, Brother Craig, I'm going to give you $100. The only way that that promise is going to mean anything to him is if he has faith that I'm going to do it. Now, he could live in misery, fearing. He could be afraid I'm not going to give it to him, which I'm not. And he could walk around biting his fingernails off to the fourth joint. You don't have but three. He could worry himself sick that I'm never going to give him that $100. And he can be afraid that he's going to need it and I'm not going to give it to him. Or he can just have faith and smile and say, amen, the preacher's going to give me $100. I'm getting $100 from the preacher. And that promise, amen, can be a blessing and a strength and a help to him because he has faith that I'm going to give it to him. Or he can live in misery and fear because he's afraid I'm not. How are you going to deal with the promise? Fear or faith? Those are the two ways you'll deal with promises in the Bible. A fear, afraid that it's not going to happen, or faith that it will. I've never, that I know of, been afraid of that verse. I've wondered about it a lot of times when I've seen things happen to people. But I determined in my heart and my life that I was not going to make that verse contradict the rest of the Bible. And at the same time, I was not going to allow that verse to put me in fear. I want my children to live for God. I want them to be faithful. I want them to serve the Lord. I realize that I have a responsibility at each age level. Amen. But now my responsibilities are on the other side. I've got grandchildren now that I have a responsibility toward as a grandparent that this verse involves. Them living for God. That's the introduction to the message. Amen. Is it enough to chew on for a few days? I want to try, if I can, to maybe just wait and start. I'm just going to wait and just maybe, Lord willing, Wednesday night. I still got another message on maturity that I need to get to you, amen, before you forget everything I said about the subject. But I don't know, maybe it's next Sunday night we'll go a step further with it. There's some things that God has dealt with my heart about that I feel as if we have let slip in training children. And I know as a parent that some of these things that the Lord's dealt with my heart about has slipped through my fingers. We have about seven children, seven infants that'll be here by what, December, January, seven or eight little babies that I know of. And that's a great responsibility for young parents. And what I'm going to preach about in the next, I may end up next Sunday, I don't know. But I believe it's very important. And I'm right in the middle, and I got time. I could probably preach it if I had the strength. But I believe I've given you enough about this verse, and I'll review this as I always do, because I'm going to embed these truths in your mind as best I can. So when I stand before God, I know I've given you these principles. There are people involved. You're not going to do it on your own. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's a process. That process is training. It means to form by instruction or practice. Education is a part of that definition. Discipline is a part of that definition. Consistency, faithfulness. It says to form by instruction, not just your mouth. You need to prove to your son what you're telling him will work. I'm going to tell you something. My daddy proved some things to me. He never said a word about it, but I watched him and I had enough observing ability to understand that what that man's doing is producing something. He had an eighth grade education. He didn't read very much or very well at all. But when he left this earth, my mother didn't have to go looking for a job to provide a living for herself. She wasn't a millionaire. She didn't have an excessive amount of cash in the bank. But when he didn't even have enough life insurance, as far as I know of, to pay for the funeral. As far as I know, we wrote a check for it, if I remember correctly. I know we didn't have enough life insurance to pay for the funeral. But he had worked enough, frugal enough, wise enough to see that she had a living the rest of her days on this earth. She didn't have to go look for a job. She didn't have to worry one bit about where the money for the power bill was coming. And I watched that, and I learned some valuable lessons from it. What that man done, and the work that he performed, and the days of labor will produce something. I learned some things from that. There was a form made. Not by just words. He didn't set me down and say, now son, if you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that, when you get to this point in your life, you can have this or have that. No, he just practiced it right in front of me every day of my life, getting up in the middle of the night and working all day and working, on Saturdays and being there and being very industrious. And in that, I saw the practice of what work would do. Projection, train up. Where's your child at in conjunction to where you were? I got a picture of them, you Callaway boys, Brother Kenneth, in my office when y'all were little bitty guys. Your mother handed me that picture when she walked out of the storefront one day with tears in her eyes. She handed me a little framed picture of those boys and she said, would you please pray for my children? And when they would come to the church, they would come in, little bitty fellows, they would line up on the front row and they would sit there like little gentlemen with ties on and Bibles in their lap and listen. Now they may not have been listening, but they looked as if they were listening to every word I said. Train up, Jeremiah. Your children should exceed that. Is that not right? Is that not what that means, Brother David? Is that not? I believe it's up. I believe there's a direction here, a projection. I believe we need to reevaluate what's going on in our world here when it comes to our responsibility. There's a person, there is a child. Don't try to treat both your children or your three children or 20 children or whatever the case may be. They're individuals. They have a form that must be constructed and supported for their future path, purity. What are they doing that they shouldn't do? How are they acting? A purpose. They're going to get old. Let me say this, and I'm done, about the purpose. The purpose in that child should be fulfilled. When you think when they get old, you know what we think? We automatically think, well, they're not going to depart when they get old. You know, we're thinking 20. Is that not what we're thinking? Or 30. How old is old? Harry's 90, but 90's not that old to Harry. He's 90. How old is old? He's old. How old are you? Do you know how old you are? You're 10 years what? Not young, just 10 years old, right? 10 years old. 10 years old. That's how old he is. We should expect some things from him. There should be a purpose involved. Brother Curtis, there's something we should expect from a 10-year-old as a parent. It's very important. Very important to understand that. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Training children. I thought about, you know, giving you a lot of statistics and saying a lot of things that might impress you, make you think I've studied a lot. But I could do that. But I want to just try to give you the principles that God's dealt with our heart about. I've got about 7 or 8 things, and I don't know how far I'll go with them. I may just preach them all Sunday night, review this introduction. The introduction dissects the verse, I believe, it in an elementary way that lets us maybe get a little bit better grasp on what's being said by that verse. Then we'll deal with the things that really actually go away from the verse, but I feel like God's dealt with our heart about that is very important. Amen. I trust that every parent has the same goal. The same goal for their child.